So you may know the old story about a man who comes up to his friends, a couple, and he says, "You guys, you seem to get along so well. You seem to do so well as a couple. What's your secret?" And the man says, "Well, here's the secret. Around the dinner table, we decided there should be a division. And we each get our area. So I decide the big issues, and my wife decides the little issues. I decide what the president's foreign policy should be, and what Israel should do, and what the Jewish people should do, and she decides how we spend the money and where we send the kids to school." And sometimes I actually think that we turn to the first because we're afraid of the second. That is, we spend so much time discussing big issues because the little issues are actually harder and deeper and dearer. And so even though God knows there's a lot to talk about in the world, and it was not a good week, and we'll say a quick word about that much later, I want to discuss what might be called the little issues, and I want to start with a quote that was originally about the big issues. This is one of the most famous quotes to come out of the last 20 years. It was from Donald Rumsfeld. You may remember it. He said, "There are known knowns. These are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things we know that we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we don't know that we don't know." Now, if that's not confusing enough, I actually want to add a fourth category this morning. That's right. That is, there are unknown knowns. That is, things you know, but you don't like to let yourself know that you know them. And that, how do I know? I'll tell you how I know in just a second. How do I know? Oh. That is, in some ways, what tshuva, what repentance is all about. Because the Platonic idea that you already know everything, that it's all inside you, and that learning is somehow recalling, is very true when it comes to our characters. That is, you know what you've done in your life, and how people have reacted to you, but that doesn't mean that you've always brought it to consciousness. So every now and then someone will say, "You know, you do this." And you'll say, "Oh yeah, I do. But of course, you knew that, but it was a known unknown. It was something that you weren't aware of, even though the information and the ideas were already inside you." And when we approach the Yamim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, part of our task is to bring who we are to awareness, to start the process of looking inside ourselves passionately, purposefully, deeply, consistently, so that we get to know who we are. And when we seek to shape ourselves, to change the way we are for better, and to change our relationships with others so that they are more comprehensive and more beautiful, we have to do that with a foundation of self-knowledge. Now, tshuva asks us to look in particular at the things that we do that we don't like to face. Sometimes the best way to know is to listen to the people around you. If you have found someone or many people in your life who care enough about you to be a mirror, to tell you who you are, then you have to have some faith that sometimes the outside perspective is valuable and real. After all of us are judged by the company we keep, in part because the people around us shape us and reflect us. So, have you found people in your life who will be honest with you? That's one measure of your self-knowledge? Will they tell you things about yourself that you know but you don't want to admit? And when they do, will you listen? Will you let it in? How immediately do you turn defensive and say, I'm not like that, I don't do that? Not because you don't, you know that you do, but because you don't want to give someone else the satisfaction of calling you on a fault. And then second, how much time will you spend exploring what you do that you wish you hadn't? You wish you didn't. One of the questions I always ask bar and bat mitzvah children is, if you had a magic wand and you could spread it, what would you do more? What would you do less? How would you change yourself? So I ask you the same question. If you could change yourself, how would you change yourself? What would you make better? What would you do less of? How would you, for example, reach out to someone that you haven't reached out to? Because there's all that ego blockage in the way. One of the remarkable things that we get from Moshe is the model of someone who is powerful, who is important, and who is not at all driven by ego. We know this because when God says to him, you're not going to be allowed to go into the land, what's the first thing Moshe says? We have to find a new leader for the people. Because he cares more about the people than he does about his own fate. And that struggle with ego, which we all have and all need, that struggle is part of what we bring to tshuva, to repentance. How often do we not reach out our hand, not because we don't know that we should, but because we don't want to concede that to the other person? How often do we shrink back because it is uncomfortable to be vulnerable, especially to those who are close to you? How often is our automatic reaction to a criticism to argue with it, because the alternative is admitting it? These are all known unknowns. These are all things that are inside us and we know them. And at this time of year, during the month of Elul, before Rosh Hashanah, this is what we should be spending our time listening to and thinking about. And all too often we take refuge in the world instead of in our souls. And we spend all of our time talking about what's in the newspaper instead of what's in our hearts. But really, we should remember the beautiful message of the Hasidic Rabbi Chaim Halberstam of a couple hundred years ago, who said when he was a young man, he decided he was going to change the world. And as he got a little older, he realized the world was actually a very big place. So he thought, okay, I'm going to change my city. But he spent years trying to do that and realized that even in his city, one person's voice couldn't always make a change. And so he decided, okay, I have a family, I'm going to change my family. But by now his kids were grown. They knew better than to listen to him. And he said, and now that I'm an old man, I realized I have to start by changing myself. I think a lot of us get trapped in Halberstam's trap. That is, we want to talk all the time about what the government should do or what the government shouldn't do or what Israel should do or what Israel shouldn't do, and yet we neglect those that we love. Yet we don't pay attention to our own conduct. We use words carelessly or cruelly when we should use them carefully and lovingly. We know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. These are known unknowns. The Jewish tradition is very realistic. It doesn't expect you to be perfect. It doesn't expect us to be perfect. It doesn't expect it of anyone, not of rabbis not of teachers. One of the ways you know that Judaism doesn't expect you to be perfect is the fact that Yom Kippur comes around every year. Nobody gets off. There's nothing in any of the sources that says you get to not observe Yom Kippur if you're perfect. And by the way, if you come to the morning minyan, you will discover that there's a confessional every day, because no day are you perfect, much less any year. But we can be better. We can dig inside ourselves and bring things to awareness and admit a little bit more than we did last year or the year before or the year before. Inward, wrote the mystic poet Novalis, goes the way full of mystery. That is, inside ourselves are mysteries that can take you a lifetime to explore. I can assure you, the world is full of fascinating things, and there is nothing in it more fascinating than you. So don't neglect you. A soul is an endless, infinite thing. And our task at this time of year is not only a task as a people. It's not only to support Jews all over the world, to support Israel, to do all those things that are external to us and important. Our task is also within. Also within. The very first statement that the Torah makes about human beings is that we are B'Tselem Elohim, that we are in the image of God, and God, after all, is infinite. So at this time of year, take some time set aside not to discover yourself, but to rediscover yourself, to explore anew who you are, to ask those whom you love to help you understand you. And while we have this minute, let me just say that some of your best mirrors are your children. And one of the reasons that that's so is, remember, growing up, your life depends on your parents. So you watch them very carefully. So sometimes your children know things about you that you don't know consciously about yourself. So ask them, as well as the other people in your life. And that's okay, even if you don't ask them, they'll tell you. But that's a beautiful thing. It is wonderful to be surrounded by people who will tell us who we are, and to be given the ability and inspiration to discover ourselves. Because part of our task in this world is to become more fully who we are. As the Kotzker Rebbe wisely said, if I spend my life being someone else, who will be me? No one else will be you, but you are perfectly suited for the job. And this is the time of year when we discover a little bit more, do a little bit better, come a little bit closer to the soul, the journey, and the destiny that God designed for us. Shabbat Shalom.